Prophecies of Hope presents Bible Answers. Welcome to our program. My name is Mark Martin.
And I'm Ed Short.
And we're happy you're with us this evening, this June 21st, 2026. And I believe today is the first day of summer here in Virginia. It doesn't seem like summer should be here already. It just seems like not too long ago we were shoveling a lot of snow and ice. But we are really happy that you folks are here with us this evening. You can find us here on New Visions Radio every Sunday night at 7 p.m. We did have to get Ray to cover for us last week because I could not get into the studio. I've got a remodel project going on at my house, and it's just taking a lot of time. But anyway, we're really glad to be here this evening. We're recording from our homes. Ed and I are both on Zoom. We can see each other. So you might have a little delay and it might sound a little bit different than it normally does. So Ed, how are things for you?
Doing well. Working a little bit. Got my garden going. Things are growing.
Nice. Yeah. Do you have a big garden this year?
It's big enough for one person, let's say that. Probably much more than what I need, but it's always fun to give things away.
Yeah, it's amazing how much produce can come from just one or two plants. It really is. And in the past, when I was a kid, we had a garden and we give away more than we ever ate as a family even. And it's fun to do. But first of all, before we get started this evening, I just wanted to mention that we're really grateful to Ray Powers for keeping us on the air all of these years, for allowing us to be a part of the New Visions Radio family, and just allowing us to take an hour each week and open God's Word and just explore what it says for what it says, without having to water things down, without having to be what this world calls politically correct. We just go with what the Bible says. And it's really a blessing to be able to do that. And we try to do the same thing at our fellowship, which we meet a couple of times a week. Ed, how do we meet at Prophecies of Hope?
Well, we usually meet on Wednesday evenings for what we call Bible study. It's actually prayer time as well as Bible study. And we physically meet at the church when possible. And we also do a Zoom session as part of that meeting. Then on Saturday, the Sabbath, the seventh day of the week, we have Sabbath school at 9:30, which is live streamed and available via Zoom. And we have our worship hour at 11 a.m., which is live streamed as well.
All right. So you're welcome to join us for any of those. And if somebody wants to contact you, Ed, how do they reach you?
They can reach me at prophecyhope.com.
All right. You can reach me, Mark, at prophecyhope.com. If you can't remember our names, you can probably remember office at prophecyhope.com. So send us an email. We'd love to hear from you. And we'll send you those links if you'd like to join us. If you just want to live stream the Sabbath school and the worship service, you can go to our website, which is prophecyhope.com, where you'll find lots of sermons. You will find that there is a search bar there. And you can type in a word or a phrase. And if there has been a sermon on that topic or it's in the description of the sermon, you should be able to find it. If you have a topic that maybe we haven't discussed here or maybe a Bible question, we will try to answer your question from the Bible. And if the Bible doesn't address it or we can't find it, we will tell you we don't know. We don't have the answer to that question. We can't give you a Bible answer. So we're always going to try to be honest about those things. And also, when it comes to a Bible, if you would like to have a copy of the Bible, we will make sure you get a copy as long as it's legal for us to send to your country or the part of the world where you live. And you can do that if you send us an email and we can get you a Bible. We will send you either a King James or a New King James copy of the Bible. If you can't receive a Bible, let us know. And there are several apps that you can get. You can download. They're free. And I think you use one called, is it eSword that you use?
On my computer, and then there's one my sword I use on my phone.
Okay. All right. Yes, I use eSword also, and I do use my sword because we have Android phones. If you have an iPhone, there's another app, but I'm sure you can find it if you just do a search. Excuse me. Also, there are softwares or websites that you can visit, like Bible Gateway or Blue Letter Bible, and you can find many different translations of the Bible there as well. So there are ways that you can get a copy of the Bible. Some of them you can download on your phone to where you don't need to be connected to the internet. You can download, I think the eSword app, I think, is downloaded on your hard drive. So if you don't have internet service, you can still get on and read the Bible in a number of different translations. So, is there any other business we need to take care of before we get started?
I don't think so.
All right, would you pray for us?
Sure. Father in heaven, we're grateful for this opportunity again to look at the life of Jesus while he was here on this earth and his ministry and his love for people and the words that he spoke to people and the things that he did. Father, as we study these things, may it impact our hearts, may it impact our minds and our lives, that we can be better disciples of Jesus Christ. Others, we study these things. We ask for wisdom and knowledge and for guidance by the Spirit of truth. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. So, Ed, right before we went on the air here, we were just talking for a few minutes about this series of Bible studies we've been doing about the life and ministry of Jesus. And we've been in the Gospel of Matthew for a while now. And it's hard to believe, I think this is number 25. So, it's 24 programs that we've done so far, and we're only in Matthew chapter 13.
There's lots to
Yikes.
talk about.
It is. And this hasn't been really a super in-depth study. We're just kind of given an overview, and it really shows how much information is in the scripture. So where were we? Where do we leave off last time we did this, and where are we going to pick up this
Well,
evening?
why don't we start in Matthew 13, with verse 44? I think we ended our last program with these verses 44 through 46. And actually, if you could read all three verses.
Sure. That's Matthew 13, beginning in verse, did you say 44?
Yes.
Okay, so it's interesting, 44 through 46. Mine has two headings here. One of them is the parable of the hidden treasure, and the other one is the parable of the pearl of great price. So here's what it says. This is Jesus speaking, and I'm reading from the New King James, Matthew 13, beginning in verse 44. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and hid. And for joy over it, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant seeking beautiful pearls, who, when he found one, or when he found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it.
As I was sort of trying to figure out where we left off last time, and I was reading these verses, it makes me think, it makes me ask the question to myself as well as to anybody listening, do we value the things of God? Do we value the gift of the Son of God? Do we search the Bible like a for tr hidden treasure? Do we find joy when we find things in the Bible that we didn't know before? And so it goes to ask the question, what do you value in your life? Do you value all these other things of life more than you value the Son of God or the gift of salvation through the Son? Do we have our priorities right? Do we understand our need for Jesus in our life and the value he adds to our lives and how he changes our lives?
You know, this, what you said about searching as for treasure, it reminds me of a text in Proverbs chapter 2. And
Okay.
it's talking about seeking after wisdom and discernment. And here's what it says in Proverbs 2, beginning in verse 4. It says, if you seek her as silver, talking about wisdom, and search for her as for hidden treasures, Then you will understand the fear of Jehovah and find the knowledge of God. For God gives wisdom from his mouth. For God gives wisdom. From his mouth come knowledge and understanding. So when we read the Bible and we hear the words, it's as if it's speaking from God's mouth. We're hearing the things that he's saying.
Now, the things of value in God's word are much different than the things that the world values.
Oh, absolutely. It's totally different.
And so this value that you find in God's word, the gift of salvation through Jesus Christ, the Son of God, many people don't see value in it. They don't see a need for it in their life. They have all these things in the world, whether it's cars or homes or possessions or position or a job or, you know, relationships.
And Ed, it's not, and you're not saying there's anything that's wrong with any one of those things.
Sure.
But where are our priorities? What do we put first? Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added to you. That's what the Bible tells us.
Much of the world, though, puts these things ahead of a relationship with God and his son, more important than taking time to read the Bible and applying it to your life. They, quite frankly, the world often supports or suggests or recommends things that are evil over the good things that we find in God's word. That's meant to keep us from evil and experiencing the consequences of evil in our life.
And I'm going to tell you, I can speak from experience. One time in my life, I did put the worldly things, the things of this world, ahead of godly things. And was my life bad? No, it wasn't necessarily bad, but I didn't have the peace that I have now. And actually, putting God first in my life, having changed that relationship and saying, you know, all of these other things are secondary now. I'm going to put God first in my life, has actually not only given me the peace that surpasses all understanding, but it has made those other things that I was striving for almost come in a natural way rather than have to work myself to death for them. Does that make sense to you?
Yeah, it's a different thinking than what the world provides for people. I saw a short YouTube video. It's probably considered a short, although it was more than 60 seconds, of a young lady. Very impressed with this young lady who talked about not living the way the world teaches you to live. You know, that you can just live with anybody and have relations with anybody and things will be okay. And, you know, she says, you know, all these things will lead to regret. You know, the world teach you, you know, do what feels good, go with your heart, and da da da, you know. And the Bible says, be obedient to God. People don't understand that God is the one that created us and knows what's best for us and knows what will bring us happiness and peace and joy in our life versus the regret when we do things which for a moment may seem pleasurable, but can lead to much difficulty in her life. And one of the things that she said caught my ear. She said, you can live now and die later, or you can die now and live later. Talking about if you live according to the world, if you live in sin, you're going to have eternal death. But if you die to sin, die to the things of the world, and value the things of God, which the world looks at as being dead in your life, you'll live eternally.
Dying to self.
Yeah.
That's what you're talking about. Dying to the things that we selfishly want to do. You know,
this was a very young lady saying this, and I was truly impressed that she had that she values the things of God much more than the things, the popular things in the world that everyone her age is doing and talking about. And I'm sure people mock her for them.
I'm sure they do. I'm the same way. When I find a young person who's interested in not doing the selfishness of the world, but doing the things of God, it's really refreshing because you don't find that very much. I thought of another Bible verse here in Ecclesiastes, and this
Okay.
comes from this is the same one that wrote Proverbs, which is Solomon, and it says here in Ecclesiastes 1:14. Now, keep in mind, Solomon was asked. He was God told him, "I'll give you whatever you want. Ask me," and he asked for wisdom rather than for money. And here's what he says. He says, "I have seen," this is Ecclesiastes 1:14, "I've seen all the works that are done under the sun, and indeed all is vanity and grasping for the wind. What is crooked cannot be made straight, and what is lacking cannot be numbered." So think about that. What is crooked cannot be made straight, and what is lacking cannot be numbered. This world is it's twisted, it's crooked, it's sick. And really, what's it lacking? It's lacking the spirit of God's the spirit of God. It's lacking the fruit of God's spirit. It's not putting those things first. And when we do that, what a difference it makes. Again, not only in just how we feel, but in every aspect of life. And unless Ed, my experience shows me that unless somebody experiences it, they really don't believe that. They can't understand it unless they take that step and say, "I'm going to put this first and see how it works out for me."
Well, these two parables that you read of the hidden treasure and the pearl of great price, people had to step out in faith and had to actually do something to find these treasures. It's the same with salvation, same with a relationship with God. We come to know who God is and the Son is by reading about Him and His Word, and reading about the gift of His Son. We have conversations with God. Through prayer. And prayer doesn't have to be this formal thing where your eyes are closed and your hands are folded and you're on your knees, although there's nothing wrong with that. But it can be at any moment, at any time, of any day, you can reach out and talk to God, not only for our needs, but our joys, to share with Him,
Amen.
thank you for doing these things. So I really love, I was driving to work the other day, a beautiful day, in the 70s. The air was clear because we've had rain. The clouds and the blue sky and all the greenery. I'm driving for about an hour and a half to work. It was just beautiful. I was thanking God for all this beauty He's created. It
Amen.
brings joy to you. It brings you peace in your life when you are out in these things and you observe these things.
You know, I
And
had that
so,
same experience this morning. Go ahead.
seeking these things requires effort. You have to spend time in God's Word. You have to spend time talking to Him. Thank Him for the gift of His Son, Jesus Christ. He tells us to pray in the name of Jesus. And it's just a relationship that was of great value and great price that leads to a change in the way we think, to the change in what's important to us, the change in how we treat each other.
You know, it's unfortunate though, some people don't want that. They don't want to change. They want to continue in the ways that they are. But if they could just see the benefits of following after Christ, I think they might change their mind if they would just take a moment and just see the difference that it can make, the impact that it can have, not only on your thoughts, on your relationships with others, on your relationship with God, most importantly, but even on your mental well-being, your mental health, your demeanor, your character, every aspect. I can't imagine living in this world without knowing what promises God has made for us. I can't imagine living in this world because there's no hope otherwise. There's nothing.
All right, why don't we continue on in Matthew? And the next section of my Bible is starting in verse 47. And I'm going to be reading verses 47 through 50. And it's called the Parable of the Net. And I'm going to be reading from the Modern King James Version, verse 47. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a net that was cast into the sea and gathered some of every kind, which when it was full, they drew to the shore, and sat down and gathered the good into the vessel, but threw the bad away. So it shall be at the end of the world. The angels shall come out and separate the wicked from among the just, and shall cast them into the furnace of fire, and there shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. You know, we don't talk about this a lot in the radio program. In fact, we don't talk about it a lot in our ministry. But actually, in this coming week's Sabbath school, we're going to be talking about the end of the world and what does that look like and so on. But there's consequences for the decisions and choices I make in my life. And God will judge me on these things because he has given the gift of the Son to experience forgiveness of sins, but he has also sent the Spirit of the Son into our hearts to help us overcome sin, to help us live a better life. But we have to choose that. It's kind of like seeking the pearl of great price. It takes effort. You have to, first of all, believe it's possible because God says so in his word. But then you actually have to try to implement it into your life with the help of Jesus.
Yes.
And so at the end of the world, there's going to be a dividing of different groups of people. Those that are faithful to God, the righteous, and those that who are unfaithful to God, the unrighteous.
In
And
fact,
they'll be destroyed.
Oh, go ahead. Yeah, that goes right along with the Gospel of John. Jesus speaking here. This is John chapter 5, beginning in verse 28. Actually, let me see here. Yeah. Yeah, it says, "Do not marvel at this, for the hour is coming, in which all who are in the graves will hear his voice and come forth, those who have done good to a resurrection of life, and those who have done evil to the resurrection of damnation." So you used a word that a lot of people don't like to hear, Ed, and that's the word consequences.
Yeah.
There are consequences to everything we do. If we're driving down the highway at a high rate of speed and a police officer sees us, there are consequences. If I try to outrun that police officer or get away from him, there are consequences. Whatever choice we make, and unfortunately, the world that we live in, they're trying to take away the consequences. They're saying, well, you can do whatever you want, and you won't be penalized. There won't be any consequences for it. But the Bible tells us very clearly that the choices that we make have to do with what our eternity will be. We can either be with God and his Son and live forever, or we can be in eternal condemnation where we will be dead forever.
You know, Mark, and I don't know if it was in Sabbath school or our Wednesday night meeting, we were talking about a gentleman who had visitors from Belgium. And we were talking about the differences between the Old Testament and the New Testament. In the Old Testament, there was immediate consequences for doing something
Yes.
wrong. And there's an example of someone who broke the Sabbath, knowingly, on purpose, broke the Sabbath, disobedient to God, and he suffered immediate consequences from that. And this gentleman said, today, you know, people don't experience the immediate consequences. They're just simply no longer a Christian when they break God's commandments.
Right.
That may be shocking for some people to hear that, but that's truly what that's about. You're not a Christian if you are breaking God's commandments. You're not
That's
a
right.
follower of Jesus Christ if you're breaking the law of God. But there will be eventual consequences at the end of the world when Christ comes again, when he brings his reward with him to judge every man according to his works, according to his deeds. And so you will experience a reward, either a good reward or a bad reward, depending on the way you live your life. And
Sure.
this is part of the work of the Christian church, is not only to speak loudly of salvation through the Son of God, but also to speak a warning.
Yeah, prepare people.
Yeah.
They need to be prepared. They need to know. It's, look, even in this world today, if somebody chooses to have a an immoral relationship with another, the consequences might not be instantaneous, but there will be consequences. Whether it's with if somebody commits adultery, think about the damage that it does not only to the two people that are in the act, but what about their families that are involved? Whether it's their children, their parents, the spouse that they're married to, those things eventually it's going to have terrible consequences. And so keeping the law of God prevents all of those things from happening. If I don't steal, if I don't lie, if I don't blaspheme God's name, if I don't break his holy Sabbath day, if I just simply do the things that he says to do, there are consequences for that too. And the outcome is tremendous. It's not negative, it's all good.
The world society, a certain portion of society is trying to change it so you don't have any consequences. They can do that. They can have judges in place that will not sentence people to any significant consequence, or they can create laws to eliminate consequences, but there's still consequences in your life. You can't break someone's heart and expect things to be okay.
Sure, that's right. Ed, I know I've said this in a sermon. I don't think I've ever said it here on this program. In this city of New York, they changed the law to it's not a crime to steal anything that's under $1,000. You might be arrested for a moment, but it'll be expunged. It'll be dropped from your record if it's under $1,000. And first of all, you're thinking, well, there's no consequences there. Well, what about the storekeeper? What about the owner of the store? There's going to be consequences for him because he can't stay in business if people keep doing those things. So while the laws might be wiped away to take the onus off of the person doing the crime, it's not doing anybody any favors, neither them nor the person that owns the store.
The person that's doing the crime, even if they get away with it, quote, get away with it, they still have their own conscience to deal with.
That's right.
We recently read in John 16 where the Comforter convicts the world of sin, convicts the world of righteousness, and convicts the world of judgment. Even though outwardly you may not experience the consequences, there'll be consequences in your heart and in your mind.
Yes. And ultimately, when it comes down to your relationship with God. So we can fool ourselves, but we can't fool him. And that's the thing. Even in the Garden of Eden, Adam and Eve were told what the results would be if they didn't just simply leave the tree of knowledge of good and evil alone. Just don't eat from it. If they would have just listened, how much better would things be for all of us?
But you know what? Eve was deceived. The
Right.
Bible tells us Eve was deceived. Satan fooled her. She believed what he said. She chose to believe what Satan said over what she knew God said.
That's
But
true.
it wasn't so with Adam. Adam wasn't deceived. He knew exactly what was going on, and yet he chose to disobey God anyways.
Which really that makes him more accountable, not only because he knew what he was doing, but he's the head of the house. He was the head of Eve. So these are powerful lessons to learn, and I know that sometimes things like this can rub people wrong. Especially the younger generation. The younger generation. That's why you were so amazed at the young lady you're talking about that made that video. We don't find that from the younger generation these days. And when we do, it's so refreshing. It's exciting to know that there are people that want to do the will of God.
So why don't we continue in Matthew 13? If you could, the next section I have is verses 51 and 52. If you could
Okay.
read that, my title is New and Old Treasures.
Okay. Mine doesn't have a title there, but I'll read it. It says, this is Matthew 13:51. Jesus said to them, "Have you understood all these things?" They said to him, "Yes, Lord." Then he said to them, "Therefore, every scribe instructed concerning the kingdom of heaven is like a householder who brings out of his treasure things new and old."
So, what do you think that means?
Let's see. Therefore, every scribe instructed concerning the kingdom of heaven is like a householder who brings out of his treasure things new and old. I don't know that I've ever really thought about this
Yeah,
text, Ed.
I really don't know what that means. I'm not sure what it's talking about. The easy to read version is not much different. It says in verse 52, then Jesus said to the followers, so every teacher of the law who has learned about God's kingdom has some new things to teach. So it's
So,
talking about a teacher of the law teaching new things he's learned about God's kingdom. And he compares that to like the owner of a house. He has some things, has some new things and some old things saved in that house. And he brings out the new with the old. So, I think we began our ministry essentially in 2012, although it wasn't really defined so much until 2015 when we purchased the church building that we're in. And we taught the things that we knew, the old things that we knew from the Word of God.
Sure.
But we learned an awful lot of new things too.
We have. That added to, it didn't change the old things, it enhanced them.
Greatly, yes.
It actually helps us to
It's
understand it better. Yeah. So that's the thing too. It's not the things that we preach now don't change the gospel. It enhanced the gospel. And now we have a better understanding of the gospel. It's not new doctrine. The doctrine has been there all along. It's that now that we've studied the Bible, we recognize that the gospel isn't just about Jesus living and dying for us. It's about him living again and being able to live in our hearts to help us to overcome. So it's the same message, but it's enhanced because now we realize that it's better than what we thought it was. We have an advantage now.
It's like if you're in school, and some of you may not like school, whether it's high school, college, or whatever. If you don't have a base of understanding, and let's use math because I hate math. I hated algebra in high school. I don't know how I ever passed it. But if you don't understand the basic concepts of addition and subtraction and multiplication, there's no way you can understand the abstract concepts that you found in algebra, which you still have to do those things. And so, as it is with the Bible, if you don't understand who God is and assume who his son is, you're not going to understand the plan of salvation. You won't see the depth that God has gone to provide everything we need for salvation.
It's so
And
true,
so
Ed.
you have to understand the old things to see the new things.
You're going to miss things like Jesus really died. All of Jesus died. You're going to miss things like the Father resurrected Jesus.
Yes.
You're going to miss things like Jesus is begotten from the Father, that he has an origin.
Jesus
That,
only spoke the words that his father gave him to speak because he
yes.
knew they lead to life everlasting. The miracles Christ did were done through the power of the Spirit of God in him.
Amen.
People don't understand that. They don't see these things because they don't search God's word for like a treasure, finding a buried treasure or a pearl of great price. They don't see the value in it, but when you start reading it and start, God starts opening your eyes. And of course, there's promises in God's word. If you lack wisdom, ask for wisdom, and God will give it to you liberally. Jesus said, I'll send you the Spirit of truth to guide you into all truth. You can claim those promises. And if you're really seeking truth, God will open up the word, the Bible, to you.
Amen. And the world is stuck in this. Every time I turn around, it seems like whether it's on a billboard or on a radio ad or a TV commercial, you can be watching a home and garden television show, and some commercial will come up, or somebody will say, oh, it's magical, or everything is spiritistic and magic. And everybody thinks these certain things about what happens when we die, which kind of enhance these false doctrines about spiritism.
Sure.
And so all of those things, the things that we have known for many years and that we learned from both the Old and New Testaments, are enhanced more and more when we understand the Spirit of God and the Spirit of Christ.
I hate to say this, and some people aren't going to be happy when I say this, but most of Christianity does not know what the Bible really says about all these topics we're just talking about. They teach something totally different in opposition to what the Word of God really says. And so if
Yes.
you really want to know what God's Word says, you have to read it for yourself.
Amen.
It takes time, it takes understanding. We are so fortunate today. There are so many different translations that can help you understand something that's difficult for you to understand. And just a word of caution, some of these translations have underlying motives in how they translated things, but God can bring you through that so you can actually see the truth in His Word by comparing multiple translations.
Absolutely. So this is what we're talking about when we're talking about things old and new. The new things don't overturn the old. It's like the New Testament doesn't change the Old Testament,
right.
And the Old Testament isn't different from the New Testament. It's that there were things that were done in the Old Testament that were fulfilled in Christ Jesus that really now are the New Testament is enhanced because of the things that Christ did. And all of those things the Old Testament was pointing to, showing us that these things would be done. So I come from a background where the doctrines can change at any time, and they call it new light. And the light might get brighter, but it doesn't negate the things that we already know. And if it does, then I had a wrong understanding of it. I was wrong. It's not that there's a clarification. It's that I misunderstood it if it's opposite of what I know now.
You know the church I used to go to, Mark? You know the actual church building and the people, some of the people there anyways, and you know the pastor that was there when I decided I couldn't stay there any longer. I had a personal conversation with the pastor after church one day. I was an elder in the church, and I don't remember if I was the head elder at that time. But after church, he told me this. He said, any of the commandments can be changed at any time, even the Sabbath.
Wow.
And when he saw the look on my face, he goes, well, maybe not the Sabbath. And, you know, this is totally opposing the Word of God. And, you know, I remember in the service, I used to sit up in the front ever since I was a little kid. But because of what was being preached there, I ended up in the back of the church. And one day he said this, God created us, so He's responsible for sin.
Wow.
And what really shocked me, I was sitting in the back, and all these people I knew, their heads were bopping up and down in agreement.
So they're nodding along instead
Yes.
of in disgust.
So this is what's happening in churches throughout the world. These preachers are preaching false things about God and His Son and about salvation and many things in the Word of God. They're speaking in opposition. And this is a church I went to that had the truth. And I believe for quite a while they had the truth. And maybe at one time they had a lot of truth, but they have gone away from it.
You know, it's really sad when you have ministers that people believe have been trained to teach the Word of God, and they're preaching contrary to the Word of God. When that pastor said, well, any of the commandments can be changed, that flies right in the face of Malachi 3:6, which says, I am Jehovah, I do not change.
Right.
And then also in it's Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8, it says, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So the doctrines are not going to change. There are things that happened throughout history where God had to work around stubborn people, but God didn't change. For example, when Jonah was going to Nineveh, God had to overcome his objections. He didn't want to go. Mm-hmm. So God kept doing a workaround. The mission didn't change. God did not change his mind. And this is where I think people get confused. God doesn't change. His commandments do not change.
You know, I don't know why this is the case, but in most churches, people try to make excuses for sin and try to find a way to be saved in their sins. And, you know, I don't know if they don't understand the gospel story. Not only of Christ dying for our sins, his blood being shed, so cover our sins to reconcile us to God, but that we're also saved by his life, the life he wants to live in us. God has sent the spirit of his son into our lives, crying, Abba, Father. He has the experience of overcoming sin. Hebrews 2 tells us in verse 18 that as Jesus was tempted, he can also rescue us when we're being tempted. God wants us not to continue to live in sin, but to continue to live in Christ so we can overcome sin. That's the
It
goal of the gospel.
is. It is to help us to overcome. That one of the things that you said about some people, you're not sure what it is. I can speak for myself. When I read the commandments for the first time with open eyes, without my church telling me what they meant, when I saw it for the first time from somebody asking me a simple question, it shocked me. And the problem was, not that I didn't want to do God's will, but I was in disbelief. I couldn't believe I was saying to myself, how can my church be wrong? We have, quote unquote, the truth.
And
How
we
can
went
my
to different
church be wrong?
churches.
What's that?
We went to different churches. They both said the same thing.
Yes. Yeah. You
Yeah.
went to a completely different denomination than
Yeah.
me, and your church said, we have the truth. And the church that I went to said, we have the truth. And I love what you say, Ed. You got to say it about the sign out in front of every church.
Well, most churches have a sign out front. They have the name of their pastor and maybe the sermon title for the sermon. They have cute little sayings on their church, maybe the times they have their services. But I've never seen any of these signs say, we don't have the truth here. Everyone
Yeah.
claims to have the truth.
They do. I was taught all of my life that our church that I was a part of growing up, which is not where I am now, had the truth. So part of the problem was my disbelief that how could my church be telling me wrong? And this is where being a Berean is so important. You mentioned it earlier in this study. Read and study your Bible for yourself, and you will see many times that the things that we have been taught from childhood. And not always I'm not saying that these men are trying to mislead you.
Right.
Sometimes they're sincere, godly men doing the best they can with what they have. But some men know the truth, but they'll stay where they are because it's comfortable for them, or they don't want to lose their job, or they don't want to disrupt their family or the things that they're used to doing. And this is why every person has to have their own walk with God and his son. Not with the denomination, not with the church, not with Ed or Mark or Prophecies of Hope.
You know, there's many people, and we know some, that when they started reading the Bible for themselves and God opened up the scriptures to them so they can see what it actually says, they're actually reading the words on the page, understanding them for what they're written for. It affected their relationships, their marriages, a relation with relatives, their children, with parents, brothers and sisters, let alone friends or quote friends from the church they went to.
Right.
There's
Lifelong friends.
consequences. Yeah.
Ed, I mean, you've had the same type of consequences in the church that you knew all of your life. I did too. And these are the choices that we make. And this is what's so difficult. Do we want that pearl of great price, as we talked about early on? Do we value that more than the temporary things?
Let's say you don't go to church at all, and you God has touched your heart. He's opened up your heart to receive the word of God, to understand these things. Your friends are not going to like the changes that God is making in your life. Again, people have told me some of the experiences they've had with the quote friends that they used to hang out with and do all kinds of things that they shouldn't be doing. And when they stopped participating, the friends didn't like that. They said, come back to us the way you were. We like the old you.
Yeah, that's really sad. It really is. And I have had people that I've known for, well, I knew them a long time ago. And when they see me now, they say, wow, you're so much different than you were before, you know? And I always ask them about it. And nobody is, fortunately for me, I'm an older generation now. If I guess if I were younger, they might not like it, but because they're more settled down, they're like, no, I like the new Mark better than the old Mark. And it is. We're supposed to put on a new personality. This is what God gives us. He, we, if
Sure.
we, if we have the fruit of God's spirit, then our personality is going to change from the spirit of the world to the spirit of Christ dwelling in us.
Right.
It makes a difference.
So, Mark, why don't we finish chapter 13? If you could read verses 53 through 58, the end of the
Sure.
chapter.
Sure. Matthew chapter 13, beginning in verse 53, says, now it came to pass when Jesus had finished these parables that he departed from there. When he had come to his own country, he taught them in their synagogue so that they were astonished and said, where did this man get this wisdom and these mighty works? Is this not the carpenter's son? Is not his mother called Mary? And his brothers, James, Joseph, Simon, and Judas, and his sisters, are they not all with us? Where then did this man get all these things? So they were offended at him. But Jesus said to them, a prophet is not without honor except in his own country and in his own house. Now, he did not do many mighty works there because of their unbelief.
So look at what these people are saying. In verse 54, it says, from where does this man have this wisdom and these mighty works? Is this not a carpenter's son and mother called Mary? Yeah, we know his mother. We know his father. We know his brothers, you know. And where does this man have all these things? And they were offended by these good things,
You know,
his
and
wisdom. It didn't
if
say
they,
that he had foolishness. He
right,
had
you're
wisdom.
right.
His mighty works, they were mighty works. They understood they were miracles, and they were offended because he had these abilities that God did through him.
You know, the thing is, if they really knew the Word of God and they were paying attention to the Word of God and they saw the things that he was doing, they would have known that he was the Son of God, and they would have known where he got that information and the abilities from. They would know it. It wouldn't be a question. And it shows that sometimes, you know, these people, what does it say? He taught them in their synagogue. In other words, Jesus comes into the church and he starts, imagine this, you're in the church, whatever church you, the listener, is going to on a regular basis. You're sitting in your church and Jesus walks in and starts saying all of these beautiful sayings. And you say, what wisdom? And the other people speak up and say, oh no, this man, he can't be right because the church doesn't say that. This isn't what we're used to. And that's really what would happen today.
So it says that a prophet is not without honor except in his own country, in his own house. So people that know him, he won't have any honor. So Mark, let me ask you a question. If you went back to your church that you're in now and speak not your opinion, not your doctrine, not your philosophy, but simply speak the words of God, read the words of God to them so they can see the words on the page and hear them. Would they listen to you?
So you're asking if I went back to the church of my youth and
Yes.
spoke from the word of God, no, they would think that it was heresy and they wouldn't want to hear it because it's not what the leaders of the church are teaching. It doesn't matter where it comes from. It can be straight from the Bible And it's unfortunate that the people in the congregation or in the church will follow the leaders rather than God's word. That's what we see right here in this account.
So part of our experience in joining together in this ministry and developing this ministry is we had people that were once with us that are now against us because of the influence of the different pastors of the different churches that they went to. They told people in the churches don't have anything to do with these people.
Yeah, that's so
They're
true.
heretics. They're not teaching truth, you know, so on and so forth. And so it's difficult because I'm sure there's people that you used to go to church with that you care about.
Oh yeah. Yep, there truly are. And I look at this verse here. They knew verse 55. Is this not the carpenter's son? Is not his mother Mary? And they knew his brothers, his sisters. And then when they say, where did this man get all these things? And then it says, they were offended. They were offended at the words of Jesus. Isn't this what we were talking about earlier? People are offended by the words of Jesus and his father. They're offended because it goes against the things that they want to know and understand, the things that they want to believe, rather than saying, listen to these words, listen to the wisdom in these words, listen to how we can benefit from following the leadings of Jesus Christ. Now, it makes me uncomfortable. I don't want to upset the apple cart. Throw this guy out. That's really what would happen if Jesus came into the churches today.
You know, I've talked to some cousins of mine. They don't want to hear it. I've tried to talk to some of the people I used to go to church with. They don't want to hear it. They're offended. They've been told they should be offended. And yet, my one word I try to get across to them, I keep on saying, study the word of God for yourself. Read the words on the page. Read it for yourself. And people don't want to do that. They're so used to being told what to believe. Versus to develop their own belief system, not from what ministers say, not from Prophecy's Hope, not from Adam Mark, but simply from the Word of God.
And how many times have people, I don't know, this has happened to me a number of times, people will ask, well, where did you go to seminary? Or where did you get your Bible education? And what's our answer to that? Where did you go to seminary, Ed?
I didn't.
That's right. Where did you get your Bible education, Ed?
From the Bible.
There you go. That's why God had these men of old, these reformers that put the Bible into the English language and into many languages so that you yourself, look, this wasn't, it was done by men, but it was overseen by God.
Yeah.
God put these Bibles into your hands so that you yourself could open them. For over 1,000 years, people weren't allowed to read the Bible. It was a time called the Dark Ages. They were told what to believe. And it seems like people, they would rather have it that way. People lost their lives to have the freedom, Ed, to be able to read their Bible and be freed from the captivity of being under the control of a church. And
They
state.
Weren't even allowed to sing hymns.
Isn't that something?
They weren't allowed to share verses from the Bible, let alone have a written copy, which is very rare back then.
So we talk about wanting freedom, and they many Christian men and women lost their lives over these things.
Yes.
And now where are we? We're right back to where, well, I just want the church to tell me what to believe. It's so much easier for me that way.
My pastor would never lead me down a straight path. He wouldn't tell me things that are false. He's a good guy.
Wow. You know, and that I would say that there are probably many pastors that would not intentionally lead you down that path.
Right.
But you can't depend on the pastor. The pastor can't save your life. The pastor didn't die for you.
Yeah, only Jesus Christ can do that.
That's it. And so why not look to the one who did these things, who gave his life for you, instead of allowing somebody else to tell you what he did. Read God's word and find out for yourself who Jesus is and what he did. This is so important. And we have about a minute and a half. Did you have anything you would like to say or sum up?
Well, at first, it's difficult to experience rejection from these people you've gone to church with for years, or maybe friends, if you don't go to church, friends you've hung out with for years. They're really good friends. You've gone through a lot together. And then to have this rejection, because now you want to follow Jesus. Now you want to accept salvation because of his blood shed through the cross. Now you want your life to change, your heart to be changed, your mind to be changed, to live differently. It's a difficult thing to go through.
It is. I mean,
but
how do you think Jesus felt when he was being rejected right there by people in his own town?
Yeah.
So he knows. He knows what we're up against. He has experienced it.
You know, there's a promise in God's word. I don't remember offhand where it is. I think it's in John. It talks about he who, you know, hates his mother, his brother, his sister, whatever, will end up having multiples of what you lost, multiple
Yes.
mothers and fathers and brothers. Talking about different relationships,
Yes.
real
And it's so true.
relationships versus those that reject you.
It's so true. So, and I guess next week we'll pick up in Matthew chapter 14.
Yes.
Is that where we'll start? And let's go ahead and have a closing word of prayer together, okay? Father in heaven, what a blessing it is to open your word and just see the words on the page. And Father, give us the courage to be able to stand up for the truth of your word. If the listener is hearing this study and this prayer, I just ask, Father, that you will give them the ability to be able to be bold and to be able to just open your word, the Bible, and not listen to the noise from the outside, but just listen to you speak to them through your word. Father, we just ask for your care and your keeping until we come together again next week. We're so thankful for this time we've had together, and we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Ed, thank you so much for leading this evening. And friends, we hope you'll tune in again here next Sunday, 7 p.m., right here on New Visions Radio. And until next time, if we don't meet you on the air, we hope to meet you in the air.